thrown out of qualifying on Saturday, wins the race on Sunday. What a champion's drive today by Sir Lewis Hamilton in Brazil. Welcome back to the Grid Talk podcast, everybody. This is episode number 151, where I'll be reviewing the 2021 Sao Paulo Grand Prix, aka the Brazilian Grand Prix. I'm your host, George Howson, and joining me today are F1 expert Alex Booth.
Hello.
Tom Downey from the EF1 podcast.
Hello.
And engineer Owain Medford.
Hello.
So, lads, let's get into the race. Obviously, like I mentioned in the intro, Hamilton was thrown out of qualifying with his illegal rear wing, although Mercedes maintained that it was damaged, but that's topic for another day. But despite that, Hamilton, he got up to fifth during the sprint, and today, Owain, he absolutely cut through the field like a hot knife through butter. He was up to fourth by the end of lap three, I think. He was just on another level today.
Yeah, I think I was a bit worried personally after, you know, just, I mean, it was absolute, for me, the drive in the sprint was probably one of the drives of the season. You know, that's a championship saving drive. And then he's gone and followed it up with another championship saving drive. I think the win today for Hamilton was like, you know, it had to happen. Otherwise, I think it was probably over. For Mercedes and Hamilton to win the championship. But, you know, as you say, you know, up four places in, you know, he's up to third, but in five laps, which is, you know, obviously he's got a load of help from unfortunately, no, you know, Norris got that puncture and Bottas was never going to be much of an issue, but, you know, just, you know, absolute champion's drive there.
Yeah, that was Hamilton unleashed. He had nothing to lose. He had to try and win this race. And I honestly believe until about halfway through that he probably wasn't going to have, you know, he was going to finish second, but he just stormed through. And it was a great battle between Hamilton and Verstappen, Tom, if not a controversial one. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be wondering why the stewards didn't take further action when Verstappen appeared to take Hamilton off the road in turn four, taking them both off the road for that matter. But in the end, Hamilton, he just had too much pace for him. He raced off into the distance and he was 10 seconds ahead by the end.
Yeah, I was surprised that it wasn't even, it was investigated, but I was surprised that nothing came of it. And I say this as a Max Verstappen fan. Max, I think, crossed the line there, and I don't just mean the track boundary. He was beyond risky, that move. And when he was watching it, I was just thinking, oh, Max, what are you doing? But Lewis kept his cool. Lewis just, he knew he had him banged to rights almost by that point. And Hamilton just showed why he is a 7-time world champion. The years and years and years of experience, the times that he has put other drivers under pressure to get the leads in other races. You could see it. You could see it coming into turn one. As soon as I saw him almost fake that dive down the outside into turn one, he forced Max to move. Max then cut back, which meant Hamilton was a lot closer. Already had DRS, got the slipstream, off he went. Ta-da, son. See you next week. It was just, yeah. Yeah. And Max, I think it was inevitable that was going to happen. The safety car and virtual safety cars definitely benefited Mercedes because they could catch up to a point. It was just a titanic battle between the two of them.
It was, yeah. Every time we've had a sprint, it's only happened three times this season, there's always been an on-track incident. At least this time, though, it didn't end with both or one of the drivers flying out of the race. And because it's absolutely vital for Hamilton as well, he's not taking the lead back in the Drivers' Championship. It's 14 points, but if it wasn't for that, it would have been 28 or something like that, I think, which is over a race win. So it's an absolutely vital thing for him to do going into Qatar next week. But yeah, I mean, there's been races this year where Red Bull have seemed to have the better car. There's been races where Mercedes have seemed to have the better car. But I think this weekend, Alex, Hamilton is just really outshone even what that car can perform. It's been one of his most important and crucial drives this weekend.
It was an unbelievable drive. The engine change going into the weekend was a bonus because it was a nice fresh engine for them, and it certainly gave them the edge in straight line speed. But that's taking nothing away from Lewis's drive today. It was unbelievable. I didn't really I thought that a podium was possible, like potentially third, but I thought Verstappen would be far ahead to really challenge to actually challenge for victory, but I was proven wrong. And he did exactly what he had to do, because as you say, if it had gone the other way around, it would have been a 28-point deficit, which with only three races left, is not ideal unless there's a retirement for the opponent, which is unlikely to happen for reliability. So it was perfect for Lewis today and damage limitation for Red Bull and Max Verstappen.
Absolutely, yeah. I think someone figured out that Hamilton did something like 25 overtakes during the sprint and today's race combined, which you can say, oh yeah, he's got the best car. You can say he's got a new engine. You can say all this and that and the other. At the end of the day, there's not many people on the grid, if anybody else, who could do something like that. I think Hamilton and Verstappen are two of the very few who could manage that. It's just unbelievable from both of them. They've been in incredible form. And what it's only three rounds left, but it's going to be tight. It's going to be intense between them. We don't know what's going to happen next weekend. We have no idea. You can try and predict it all you want. We thought that this circuit would have suited Red Bull more. It doesn't appear like it did. It seemed like it was more of a Mercedes track, if anything. Verstappen, he finished second. Owain, it's not bad by any means. Horner was saying on the radio after that, you know, it was damage limitation, but at the end of the day, he did start in second place today. He did take the lead by the first corner, so he will be disappointed in a way, but it's not a disaster. He did hold off Bottas to the finish.
100%. I think Mercedes had the edge car-wise. I think they'd extracted more performance out of it. I think the Red Bull, I don't know, if we're looking at car potential, I think it's a lot of it's coming, you know, we're on a knife edge here over whether it's going to go Mercedes' way or Red Bull's way. Because as you say, we expected it to go Red Bull's way coming into the weekend. But I think with the probably on balance weaker car, Verstappen showed that he put up a hell of a fight during the middle portion of that race against Lewis when, you know, he did everything he needed to do. And it was only sort of a bit of tyre, just a tyre advantage, really. And Lewis having, as I said, a cracking race, to the point where Verstappen, I don't think, for me at least, to keep him behind as long as he did was impressive, because I think that gap was only widening in the relative performance of each other. And as you say, he kept off, he managed to keep Valtteri Bottas at bay, I think it was a 3.5 second gap at the end. That could easily have gone in a few laps if Bottas had pushed earlier and Verstappen could have ended up third. So to still take second against a Mercedes team who were probably the better of the two is exactly what he needs to do, and it just slows the rate that Hamilton is catching up on him.
Yeah, definitely. It was important for him to get second place today. I mean, I'm sure he would have wanted to win it. I'm sure he thought he could have won it before this race today. Just wasn't to be, though. Hamilton was just too quick for everybody today. Just, like we said a few times, he's just on another level. But that second place was Verstappen, and the fourth place for Perez does keep Red Bull in the hunt for the Constructors' Championship. It's just 11 points between Mercedes and Red Bull. Mercedes having the advantage there. So we'll move on to the man who completed the podium today, Valtteri Bottas. Tom, he won the sprint yesterday, and today, despite losing the lead at the start, I was thinking to myself, well, he's not really doing Hamilton any favours here. Like, this is the Bottas that we've kind of feared might rear his ugly head again. But despite that, I think today he did a decent job. He did get slightly lucky with the virtual safety car to overtake Perez, but third place and a lot of constructors' points for Mercedes.
Yeah, Bottas did what Mercedes needed him to do today. I think when Toto said, come on, Valtteri, we can get Max, I think that was a bit wishful thinking, realistically. But Bottas did well. He had a really good Saturday. The way he stormed into the lead in the sprint qualifying, race qualifying, whatever you want to call it. And then today, didn't get the best of start, fell victim to a very, very aggressive Verstappen who basically threw down an Uno reverse card from yesterday and then ended up beating Bottas off the line. I do think that inside sort of grid slot, so that P2 almost seems to favour whoever starting at Brazil, or it certainly seems to have been this weekend. Maybe it's because it was cooler or just a bit of an anomaly this week, but it certainly helped this. It certainly helped this year. But yeah, but Bottas held on to P3. I don't think he was ever really going to be in contention for P2. And when he said to Mercedes on the team radio, "I think we've thrown away a solid 1-2 here," I'm not too sure. I think an angry Max fueled by Red Bull in a Red Bull was probably always going to hunt him down and pass him, especially if he was on all tyres. The virtual safety car as well really helped Mercedes to make sure that there was enough of a gap up ahead, because he only lost something like 11 seconds as opposed to the full 20, 22, 24 seconds that a pit stop usually takes. So, yeah, he had a stroke of luck, but he had a good weekend to even start from where he started. Some good battles, and just did what he needed to. Oh, and he practically stopped when he moved over for Hamilton. He practically did an emergency stop into turn one, but that was always going to happen.
Yeah, it absolutely didn't make it. You know, I think they said it invert the cars on the radio, but the way that Bottas went about actually getting out of the way, it was very obvious. But end of the day, it doesn't matter. We all know team orders are part of Formula One. Whether you like them or loathe them, they're always going to be in that kind of situation. Bottas did get out of the way, which earlier on in the season, I think in Spain, he refused to for a long time. So it's good to see him doing that. Next up, we have Sergio Perez. He finished in fourth place. And again, I mean, I don't want to be harsh on Checo. I do like the guy. I do think he's a great driver. But I think Alex is going to be disappointed with this. He was second at the start of the race. He did get unlucky with Bottas getting the virtual safety car. But being held up by Sainz for the entire sprint when you think he would have got past, thought he would have got past him as well, it's just a little bit more. But fourth isn't a disaster. It's still quite a few points for Red Bull for the constructors.
It is. I mean, as you say, he will be disappointed today because he got really rather unlucky with the virtual safety car, which allowed Bottas to gain a bit of an advantage over him. And that cost him a potential podium. It was more disappointing for him yesterday, really, because, yeah, he probably should have got a pass time and he wasn't able to, which was surprising. And what went on with the virtual safety car today, that's a look of the jaw, but he did a good tactic from Red Bull by snatching the fast lap away from Lewis throughout the end, because they couldn't do it straight away because they would have just reacted with Bottas doing the same thing. So they played that strategic call right, because they had a massive gap over Leclerc in fifth, and he came away with fourth place, which wasn't brilliant, but it was the best that he could have really done in that situation.
Yeah, most likely, yeah. And he did get the fastest lap as well to get a bonus point for that. So I took that away from, I think it was Hamilton at the time, who had the fastest lap. They pitted him with a few laps to go. So I've seen it quite a few times. He might as well have done, because it was a big gap. Back to fifth place, who was Charles Leclerc. And Carlos Sainz was in sixth as well. I mean, an excellent day for Ferrari, really, Tom. As much as it pains me to say, it does appear very obviously that Ferrari are the third best team now. They are the third best team in terms of pace and results. They were kind of in no man's land today, but that's a good thing for them because they were well clear of the rest of the midfield.
Yeah, it's been a good weekend for Ferrari, sort of all around. You know, P5, P6, they couldn't have really asked for much more. They were best of the rest, which, given where they were last year, it was pretty woeful. It's done them, as much as it pains me to admit it as well, because I adore McLaren with all my heart, especially Lando. They've got what, roughly a 35, I think, point lead over McLaren now in the constructors, because Ferrari picked up a good haul for P5 and P6, and Lando came home either P9 or P10. So he's picked up a point, maybe two, and Danny Ric had a DNF with a power unit issue. I thought McLaren were going to be bob on for third this year in the constructors. And then Ferrari just sort of started sneaking up behind them. And then next thing you know, they've been right there I've been writing them off, and that is, don't I look like a fool now? Because Ferrari are, unless something drastic happens, I think they will take third in the constructors. And Carlos Sainz, I don't think he gets enough credit for the absolute sensational launch he had yesterday at the start of the sprint race. Today, didn't have a very good launch. Got passed by Lando, and then ultimately Lando thought he had more room than he did. Sainz was lucky to not get a puncture, but it wasn't his fault. And then, like you said, George, they just drove around in no man's land, which is a bit like what Pierre Gasly's been doing, to be honest. But it's, they're just doing what they need to do to secure the points, get more funding for next year. Not the Ferrari short of money.
Well, I mean, there's all the budget caps and stuff coming in, so a bit of income like that will definitely help them out no end. Yeah, I mean, fair play to Ferrari. I mean, they've you know, last year it was just torrid for them. We documented that no end. And while they haven't won a race this year, they've been a lot more consistent. And like you said as well, I think there's a 31-point gap they now have over McLaren, which you don't want to say it's a done deal, but it's probably a done deal. I mean, I think unless they have an absolute disaster in the last few races, that those new engines they put in around Russia and Turkey, they're just performing so well for them. Really is doing a treat for them. But yeah, we'll move on. So yeah, Tom mentioned Pierre Gasly there, Alex. So he finished in seventh place today. Not quite the lofty heights of fourth like it was in Mexico, but a good race nevertheless for him. Solid points for AlphaTauri. And the battle between AlphaTauri and Alpine remains level because of it.
Yeah, it's not like the real dizzy heights, as you mentioned, but it's another points finish that he's done. He's been ultra consistent this year as Pierre Gasly. And as you mentioned, the race between AlphaTauri and Alpine goes on. Alpine really could do with the second car of Yuki Tsunoda getting some points to really help them in that fight, because I think if you're to ask me right now, I think it's more in Alpine's favour, because they seem to be able to get, well, at least more likely to get two cars in the points, which is what they're going to need. But Gasly's doing his utmost, and it wasn't his best race of the season, but he still managed to get a decent result.
Yeah, he did all he could at the end of the day, and he did a hell of a lot better than his teammate, who we will get onto in the not-too-distant future. And like a true professional, I completely forgot to mention the 5-star review rule that we have here on Grid Talk after the fifth place man. So I'll mention it now. So if you guys leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, you'll get a shout-out at the start of the show, and you'll be entered into one of our free competitions, which are running right now as well. Get some free merchandise. If you subscribe to our YouTube channel, because obviously we go out live on YouTube these days before it goes onto the streaming platforms, if you leave a comment on the video proper, not just the live chat, although please do get involved with that, they do answer your questions on there, but if you leave a comment on the video proper, and if you leave a 5-star review on iTunes, you'll be entered into 3 different draws to win some free merchandise from our new store, f1chronicle.com/store, if you want to check out what we've got there, t-shirts, mugs, hoodies, all that good stuff. So yeah, please head over to there if you want to support the show. And yeah, I mentioned Alpine there, Tom. Esteban Ocon in 8th, Fernando Alonso in 9th, which I am very surprised to be saying that. They weren't really anywhere in the sprint. They were kind of just ghosting around the edge of the points, but I don't know if they ran an alternate strategy or something, but they just crept up there during the race, and fair play to them. It's 6 big points at the end of the day.
Yeah, I got to be honest, I'm just as surprised as you were that Alpine did quite as well as they did. I didn't think they were going to go that well, especially given their fairly lowly starting positions. But it was nice to see them bring home a double points finish. I mean, nothing's going to quite top their double points finish from Hungary, but it was still a solid outing today from them. Maybe they benefited a bit from the safety car from the VSCs. I can't remember exactly when they pitted. But whatever they did, they made it work today. It's given them a good chunk of points in the fight with AlphaTauri. I'm just going to look up to see what the points difference is between them, because those two have been pretty level on points recently. And, okay, cool.
62 for Alonso, 50 for Ocon.
Yeah, and then, actually, interestingly, though, the teams are actually tied on points at the moment.
Still are, yeah.
Yeah, but Alpine are ahead because they have a race win. And also, side note, I think the BBC Sport website might have made an error because it says Mercedes got 521 points and Red Bull have 510. I don't think that's right.
That is right. They're all both on 0.5, though. That's the only thing, but that is correct.
What, each... ignore me.
It's all right, mate.
I looked at that and I thought, because I saw the names, I thought, oh, a driver usually has 300 and something points. But then I just realised I flipped tabs.
Moving on. We'll... Moving on, unfortunately, next we need to go to the final points score. At least it was 1 point this weekend for McLaren. Lando Norris finishing in 10th place today. But Owen, it could have and should have been a lot more. Ricciardo, obviously, he wasn't the point, but he retired with an engine issue, which will worry Mercedes a little bit. But I suppose with the 20 engines that each driver's used this season, they'll be all right. Norris, he did start fairly high up there, but had an incident with Sainz, I think it was, off the line. And to be honest with you, even though obviously I probably am a little bit biased towards McLaren, I think that's probably Norris's mistake. There was room for him to go around the outside and he didn't use it.
Yeah, he did cut across on Sainz a little bit. I think he just, maybe in the throng of it, he just sort of lost sight of, just an awareness of where Sainz was. So yeah, probably his fault. In total, it's not a great weekend for McLaren at all. You know, 1 point. And then to have a fairly strong points finish for Ferrari, because you know we've been saying for weeks that you know it started, the Ferrari seemed to have got on top of their car, and to be best of the rest is quite impressive. But to come back to McLaren, I think it's sort of that's starting to slip away from them now. The ability to come third in the championship, and as good as they looked, it's now falling away from them a bit. You know, it's a good recovery drive. Let's not be like, you know, he got helped in certain ways by the safety car and the VSC and things like that, did Norris, to actually get where he did. And obviously the retirement of his teammate probably helped a little bit. So that's, you know, a blessing and a curse in some ways. But yeah, the fact that, you know, unfortunately it's a situation of his own making, but to recover, you know, to have the awareness not to pound it round on his way back, which could easily, as easily ended races before in, you know, up and down the motorsports ladder, as it were. And we've seen it, you know, happen where Lewis has had to retire from a puncture like that, you know, to have the awareness not to race the car back, as it were, and destroy his race completely, is good. And it's translated into 1 point. I don't think there's any chance of those slipping backwards, but for McLaren, you know, it's been a poor weekend, and I think it's probably cost them ultimately the constructors championship place over Ferrari.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think other than the start itself, Norris did a standout job today. To come from getting a puncture well behind, nearly almost a lap behind, to finish 10th is admirable, even in a car as good as the McLaren. I think he did a standout job. Other than it's just his getaway, really, that's the only thing that let him down. Next up, 11th place, Sebastian Vettel, Alex. I mean, he's going to be disappointed not to score points, obviously, but I don't think he really could have done much better than what he did today. I think he was up in, what was he, 6th or 7th in the early stages, but the pace of that Aston Martin just isn't there. And like we said a few times, they're just moving on, looking forward to 2022.
Yeah, it's been a recurring theme, really, of this season. Aston Martin just haven't really had what it's taken. Sebastian Vettel probably come away with one of the biggest internet hits of the weekend when he said, "I'm going to go and touch Lewis's rear wing at the end of the sprint." But that's probably the highlight of his weekend, really. He just missed the points finish, and unfortunately, Stroll had an unfortunate incident when he was clipped by Tsunoda at the start, and that was damaged his car. And that was a one retirement for Aston Martin, a non-points finish. So it's another weekend, really, that they'll want to quickly forget and move on from.
Yep, absolutely. Not a good weekend for them, but it's not a surprise either. And they're going to stay in 7th in the Constructors. Williams can't catch them, and they can't catch AlphaTauri nor Alpine ahead of them. So they're just counting down the races to next year, really, at this point, to be honest. Next up, we have the Alfa Romeos. Kimi Raikkonen recovering from his crash in the sprint race and starting from the pit lane in this race to finish 12th. And Antonio Giovinazzi in 14th. Just another average race for them. There's not a hell of a lot we can really say from this one for this one, Tom. I mean, at least Raikkonen made some overtakes, but Giovinazzi, I don't even remember seeing him other than being laps, really.
Yeah, it's a bit ominous for Giovinazzi, isn't it? Especially given this apparent poster welcoming Guan Yu Zhou has been spotted in China. He'd had an all right Friday, even. In fact, both the drivers had an all right Saturday. And I think Gio started the sprint race about ninth or something, or finished it ninth. He had done pretty well. There was certainly somewhere where he finished ninth. I'm sure of it.
I think he was up in the top 10 in Q1. He was really high up there.
But yeah, there was definitely something where I thought that's good to see from Gio. But alas, it's come to nothing. Like you said, the Alfa Romeos, they're not going to catch Williams. And barring some seismic shift in the universe, Haas are not going to get enough points to overtake Alfa Romeo. So they are solidly in ninth position. Raikkonen is literally just counting down the days until he can go home and just be done with it. I think he looks like someone who is pretty much mentally checked out. Gio, he looks like he's still driving for his career, but I think if they were going to announce him, they would have done it by now. I think the reason they haven't announced anyone yet is because they are just hashing out deals, and obviously the delay with the Michael Andretti takeover. I think maybe they've gone back to reevaluating their options. I would be surprised to see Gio kept on for next year, which I think would be a shame, because I think he has improved this year. He's learnt a lot from Kimi, but I think it's just too little, too late for him.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's been particularly bad, but I don't think he's been particularly good either. I wouldn't blame Alfa Romeo for wanting to move him on, or whatever guys the Sauber outfit, the Heimville outfit, take next year. But we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, that poster for Zhu in Shanghai, that's pretty ominous, but it could also potentially just be a wishful fan, in a way, a hopeful fan of Zhu in Chinese motorsport. But we'll see what happens. It's definitely possible. It's definitely possible that Zhu will go there. We'll see what happens. Another team that didn't score any points this weekend was Williams. George Russell in 13th. I think he ran extremely long on the hard tyres after pitting in the first few laps or so. And Latifi down in 16th. Again, it's another disappointing weekend for Moen, but it's not a surprise. They've done their work. They've got their points. And again, they're another team that are really looking forward to next year.
Yeah, they're pretty safe in the Constructors' Championship in eighth. As has been said, we don't really see Alfa Romeo going forwards from this point. I think 13th from George is pretty good, based on the fact that, you know, he's taken advantage, obviously, of a couple of DNFs in front of him. And, I remember reading earlier in the week that they don't, basically he can't sort of see where the car performance has gone. From obviously getting into Q3 on occasion earlier this year, you know, it seems they've slipped back, and I think the other teams have just started to move away from them and sort of shut them out of those positions they used to get in. I think for George to do any better than he did today, which is already pretty good, he would have needed something like some rain or something like that to just shift the balance of the weekend, and Nicholas as well. You know, it's just, you seem to do better when there's changeable conditions, and other people maybe don't do so well, but you know, a lot of the people in front of them ran decent enough races, and unfortunately that, you know, there wasn't anything, any big scenario, any big sort of events for them to profit off, really, by the couple of retirements, as I've mentioned before. So I think it's a decent enough weekend for Williams. Were I them, I'd be waiting until 2022 and hope that that's a bit more prosperous.
Yeah, absolutely. They did all good at the end of the day. And with a track temperature of about 50 degrees Celsius, there wasn't going to be any rain coming onto that. But you never know. You never know in Brazil. It's a funny old circuit. Some weird weather has happened over the years, but it didn't look like it was going to rain today, to be honest. And next up, we have Yuki Tsunoda, 15th place for him. Just a really bad race for him. I'm not going to pull any punches with this one. We've been praising him a bit. I'm feeling sorry for him with some of the words that some of the Red Bull hierarchy have been saying about him. But Alex, he's not done himself any favours today, especially with that crash with Lance Stroll, which he got a 10-second penalty for.
No, it was an ambitious move by Tsunoda, and it's not really what he really needed. He's getting a bit of a reputation for mistakes and incidents, and it depends. that's not really a good thing when you've got Helmut Marko over your shoulder. But he kept on going after pitting and brought the car home. But as I mentioned before, if AlphaTauri are going to be finishing ahead of Alpine, they could do it on pace because AlphaTauri is a quicker car than the Alpine, I think. But they need both cars in the point. Tsunoda needs to improve next week.
Yeah, it's. I mean, at the end of the day, I think the kid's talented. He's clearly got speed, but he just needs to stop hitting people. Basically, that move was not on. It's just something, isn't it? I don't get why he was trying that. Just try and make up ground, probably desperately. He shouldn't be doing that though. At the end of the day, and because of that, I think Lance Stroll did retire because of the damage on his car. He had a few parts shedding off and. I think Aston Martin just decided to retire because they lost too much performance. But speaking of losing performance, a team that don't really have any, the Haas, of course, did end up last in this one, as usual, 17th and 18th. Nikita Mazepin, this time for once, finished ahead of his teammate, but that was not because of his speed. It was because of Mick Schumacher's multiple incidents. I think he hit one of the Alfa Romeos, lost his front wing, and that caused one of the safety cars, Tom... Yeah, I mean, other than that, it was just nothing you can really say about them. At least they were only two laps down.
Yeah. there's only so much we can say about Haas this year. You know, we know how bad their car is, and we know that they're not developing yet. But yeah, it's just. I said this yesterday, actually, on the pod. It must be quite soul-destroying for them to actually come into every weekend just knowing that they're going to be last, they're going to be lapped. And it's just, what can they do? You know, they're not even racing with themselves, you know, because Gunter would probably... you know, smashing the door or something. But yeah, it's just, I really don't have anything to add. You know, they turned up, they drove, they finished two laps down, and now they're going to be heading off to Qatar to do the same thing. And as I say that, we have news on Lewis Hamilton. Would you like me to read it out?
Yep, go on. We've talked about it before the show got going. Hamilton allegedly breaching sporting regulations for not having his belts done up properly.
Okay, so Lewis Hamilton has been fined €5,000 with an additional €20,000, which is suspended through the end of 2022. It is a breach of Appendix L, Chapter 3, Article 4 of the FIA International Sporting Code. In layman's terms, he took off his belts while he was on his slowdown lap. And he's been fined $5,000 for it.
I think he can afford it.
I think he'll be all right. I think he'll probably get 10 times that in the bonus for today.
Yeah, probably. Probably. And well-deserved too, because he was incredible today. But yeah, those are the 20 drivers. I did mention as well that Ricciardo, he was in the points, had an engine issue, had to retire. And Lance Stroll, I'm guessing he retired because of damage to his car from the incident with Yuki Tsunoda. So let's vote for our driver of the day. I think Sir Lewis Hamilton did win it in the actual poll for the real driver of the day on the F1.com website. And I can't give it to anybody else. I have to give it to Hamilton here. He made 25 overtakes through the weekend. Yes, he's got a quick car. Yes, he had a brand new engine. But how can you look past that? I personally can't look past that. Owain, who's your driver of the day?
I'm not going to say any different because I think, you know, there's a case, you know, all through this season, I would say that, you know, no matter what the result has been, that we've had a class of two, with between Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, and today, you know, it's unfortunate if you're a Max fan, but we had a class of one. There was like no one else on that track doing anything better, you know, and it, that's one of those performances that's going to go down you know, in the pantheon, like that's a Hall of Fame level performance. If you want to see a Grand Prix drive that sort of nails together everything that you need to know, about Lewis Hamilton, that one right there. So absolutely him for me.
Yeah, 100% there. And people say it's possible to pass around Interlagos, and it absolutely is, but it's not easy. It's not one of the easiest tracks to pass on. We've had it through the years where guys just cannot get past. They get stuck behind other drivers. Tom, who's your pick for driver of the day?
It's got to be Lewis Hamilton. You know, he is. That was just a drive of a champion. I mean, what more can we say? You know, you said about the overtakes, the moves he put in, the pressure he put on Max. Yeah, it has to be Hamilton. Has to be.
Alex, are you going to make it a full house for Hamilton?
I'd be a brave man if I didn't, wouldn't I? I think it's got to be, hasn't it? I mean, it was in a class of his own today. I'm trying to give an honourable mention to somebody else, but I can't. It's just on a different pedestal, really. Lewis Hamilton's drive today, so it's definitely going to be a full house.
Yeah, that's the thing. You look down the order and you think, who did a better job than him? He literally came from the back, the start of the sprint, and then got sent back another 5 places for the start of this one. You know, it's just unbelievable. And more importantly for him, it keeps his championship alive. Because it could have been almost over after this, potentially, especially if Max didn't have any more retirements. And I think David Croft said it in the Sky commentary after while Hamilton was taking the checkered flag. 101 wins for him now, which matches all the Brazilian drivers in F1 history. So Senna, Piquet, Barrichello, Fittipaldi, Massa, all of them combined, they've got the same amount of wins as Hamilton, which is, it just doesn't seem right, does it? It doesn't seem possible, but he's done it, and he's probably going to surpass that in a few weeks' time with 3 rounds left this season. But yeah, so let's give you guys a chance to plug your outlets. Tom, I've mentioned that you're part of the EF1 crew. So, what is the podcast that you guys do, and where can people find it?
Yeah, so I'm part of Everything F1. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. We are Everything F1. We also have we have our podcast, which is the Everything F1 podcast, which is available on Apple Music, iTunes, whatever it's called, Spotify, our website, all your favorite podcasting locations. And also we have our website, which is everythingf1.com.
Yeah, definitely check those guys out. I've been on their podcast, and they do run a fantastic page on Facebook as well. I do generally get a lot of my news updates and rumor information from your guys' page. So yeah, definitely check them out. Owen, is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah, it's been on a sort of, unfortunately, just with the way that the scheduling works out there, it's been on a bit of hiatus, as I've been saying, for multiple weeks now. So if you've been listening, I'm sorry if you've got sick of it. But if you like a more, let's say, lighthearted take on the weekend, I normally do that. I round up sort of the 10 of the best memes that usually come from the race on sportlightpro.com, and it will be coming back from Qatar now that it's moving a bit earlier in the day on a Sunday, so that will be back. Not with a vengeance, just back.
the memes will be back with a vengeance. Of
slightly
course.
Worse and more derivative than before, but you know, it's fine.
Yep, definitely check that out when it comes back. You've committed now, Owen. I'm gonna hold.
Yeah,
you
I'm
to
held
that.
To that now. That's it.
Yeah, I've got to hold you to that. And yeah, and those pieces do well. To be fair, they are consistently, even though the races were months and months ago, they still do well. They're still dragging viewers from cyberspace. And another series that does well is the classic review, the F1 Blast from the Past, written by the one and only Alex Booth.
Thanks for that. Yeah, I love my F1 archives, as you know, so I contribute to writing. Every time I go to a Grand Prix, I write about a classic race there in the past. It's going to be a little bit difficult over the next 3 races because we've got Qatar and Saudi Arabia, and we've never raced there before, so I have to be ingenious for that. And Abu Dhabi, I don't mean to sound too negative, but we've only had one great race there in the history that we've been there, and I wrote about that last year. So, but the thing is, with the championship in the way it is, especially as now we're on 14 points, So if it, barring any fastest lap point for Hamilton or Verstappen, if it's a Hamilton and Verstappen 1-2 in that order in Qatar, it's a 7. And again in Saudi Arabia, it'll be neck and neck going into Abu Dhabi. So watch out for a classic championship decider and a potentially classic report on a previous championship decider.
Yeah, and there have been some absolute classics for that as well. Down the years, some huge championship decides. It is building up. It's just a shame it's at Abu Dhabi. You'd like it to be at Brazil where it was at today, but those days are sadly gone, unfortunately, in Formula One. Hopefully they come back, but I wouldn't expect it to. But yeah, so thank you for plugging your outlets, guys. We've just passed 300 subscribers on YouTube now as well. Obviously, I mentioned before, we do go out live on YouTube. So if you want to catch the show about an hour after each session, after the sprint or qualifying or race, that's the place to go. Just search for F1 Grid Talk on YouTube. And we're also available on the regular podcasting platforms as well, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Verbal, Omni Studio, and Pocket Cast. Just search for the F1 Grid Talk on all of those. And you can check out our huge back catalogue of shows, over 150 episodes now. We passed 150 episodes now for you to get through. Just, you know, obviously it's the previews, reviews, the qualifying reviews, and some more documentary-style pieces as well, like the Ayrton Senna special, Tyre Gate, the 1994 Benetton conspiracy, and two interviews with Mario Rosola from Pirelli as well. And, yeah, thank you for joining us, lads. Really do appreciate it, as always.
Yeah, it's no problem.
Anytime.
And we'll be back tomorrow from 8 o'clock UK time to preview the very first Formula One Qatar Grand Prix. Until then, thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you for the next one. Bye-bye.